This Holocaust survivor wanted to burn down churches. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And I'm here with a Holocaust survivor, Rose Price. And I've been reading books, and you've been reading books lately too, about the Holocaust. And let me read you something that happened in Poland, where Rose was born. This is a book by Dr. Michael Brown, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And let me read this to you. In a little city in Poland, September 2nd, 1942, it illustrates the depth of Christian hatred of the Jew that actually helped make the Holocaust possible. Quote, the old, the sick, pregnant women, small children, 2,000 innocent Jewish souls were shot and brutally thrown into freshly dug graves, one on top of the other. Many of them were still alive. For most of the children, they didn't even waste a bullet. They were just thrown in alive, and together with those who were only wounded, finished their lives under the pressure of the human mass. The next morning, a few of the wounded were able to crawl out of the graves and managed to walk a few meters, but died shortly thereafter. The larger grave contained 1,000 bodies, and the two smaller graves contained 500 bodies each. We learned of this massacre from the Polish police themselves. On the following Sunday, they went to church with their families as if nothing had happened. They suffered no guilt feelings. After all, they were only murdering Jews with the blessing of their priests who inflamed them from their pulpits on Sundays. Rose Price, growing up in a little city in Poland, what is your recollection of Jesus?
There are many bruises on my body in the name of Jesus. I was hit in the head with a cross with Jesus on it by a priest in the habit, and my crime was that I walked on the sidewalk where the church was.
A Jew wasn't allowed to walk over
there. No, because I defiled the church. I was 7 or 8 years old at the time.
Tell me a bit about what Jewish lifestyle in Poland was like before Hitler.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was family. I mean, I came out of very Orthodox background. Almost most of the males would become rabbis. The synagogue, before the building of a synagogue, was in my grandfather's house. So the orthodoxy and God and Jewishness and family all came together.
But then all of a sudden, something happened. What was your first recollection when things started to change?
Well, anti-Semitism I always knew. I was called Christ killer, I was called dirty Jew, I was hidden with stones when I would go to the Polish school. So I knew I was different. And then in 1939, September 1, then it really was happening. That's when Germany invaded Poland. And with a short time, we were thrown out of school. We were thrown
out. What were you told when you were thrown out of school?
Actually, we were told never to come back. Like, you Jews do not come back to the school anymore. And the next thing, we were thrown out of our home into the ghetto. And the very next thing, I'm not giving you time zones, I don't remember how many weeks, how many months. And the very next thing, we were picked up and put to work in the ammunition factory.
Were you separated from your family, or?
At that time, yes. My sister and I, five cousins and one aunt, we were all caught together and put to work in the ammunition factory.
Could you put it together, what was happening to you or why this was happening?
I couldn't understand. No, I was 10 and a half, 11 years old. The only thing I knew is I want my mommy. And the day they held us back in the camp, they didn't allow us to come back. I didn't want to go to work. I held on to my mommy's dress. And I was holding on to that dress till about a year ago. I didn't even know I was holding on to the dress. But no, I could not put it together.
So tell me what life was like in the concentration camp.
Oh, Lord. Well, we worked around sometimes around the clock. We were constantly beaten. We had to make so many boxes a day of ammunition. And if not, you never left the machine. You had to make it. If you had to stay a whole week without stop. Our food consisted on one slice of bread, a quarter of an inch thick, and one cup of coffee and sometimes a cup of soup. The torches, every Saturday afternoon, we would be marched up to the upper room. And this is what they called it, the upper room. And everything I want you to know was done in the name of Jesus.
You went into one concentration camp. You were telling me outside of Dachau that, what did it say on the archway?
No, on the archway it said, Arbeit macht das Leben frei. Work makes your life free. A funny thing, we worked, we were not free. But then there was in Turk Hamburgau, was a sign across the camp where it says, you killed our God, Jesus Christ, we kill you. So why not? The Jew has been killed in the name of Jesus for the last 2,000 years.
Tell me the one of the worst things you can remember happening to you personally in the camp.
There's so many. I think the one with the experimentations.
What kind of experimentations?
Well, we were undressed in Bergen-Belsen and stayed in the snow for 24 hours. I know it started at nighttime, mm-hmm. and we stayed a whole night and a whole day. And many, many people died, fell, and that's how I survived. Their bodies fell against mine. And they would come every so often to take blood to see. The whole experiment was how quickly could the blood freeze and the people die.
How could man be so inhumane to man? How can a man sink so low as to experiment on humans whose only crime was that they were born Jewish? We'll be back in just a moment. YouTube, Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking with Rose Price, a Jewish woman who went through Hitler's concentration camp. Rose, you explained how you had so little food. There was one day in the camp where they had these sugar beets, which you weren't allowed to get, but what happened?
Well, I was digging them out of the ground.
You weren't allowed to eat them, though.
No, but I stalled. That's when I learned how to steal. And we went through the guard. And if he caught you, you got beaten or killed. And if you're not, you got some food because Bergen-Belsen didn't have any food. And he looked at me, and I guess the guard knew that I did it because all of a sudden I was fat around the middle. because I had a string tied around. And he let me go.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But it was a miracle that he didn't kill me, because he knew that I had the sugar beets.
But there was one time you were punished by being in sewer water?
Yeah. And that was, I walked across the camp. And, you know, like the guard, not the guard, but the commander would sit and shoot anybody who was walking or whomever he could hit. And we would walk across the camp. And I was smiling. I don't know why I was smiling. And because I was smiling, they put me in a tank of live sewer. And I had to stand there around the clock on my toes because the sewer kept coming. And if I would have stood on my feet, I would have drowned in it. Until today, I still have very hard time smells. Certain odors make me very sick.
Rose, people, intelligent people, so-called intelligent people, PhDs,
yes,
are stating that not 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. There was not gas. What would you say to them?
Okay, I have a question for them. Where was I for 5 years, from 1940, beginning of 40, till 1945 in May? I could tell them where I was. I was in 6 different camps. The gas containers, the open evidence in Auschwitz or Oświęcim, the open evidence in Treblinka, and if they do read a little bit, they could go into the history and see that the commander from Auschwitz went to Treblinka to learn how to kill quickly with how much gas. That there could go 10,000 people a day to be gassed. That's how fast it worked. Where are my parents? Where is my little sister? She was 6 years old. And I just found out last year how she died. And yes, it hurts. Because she was buried alive. She was digging sand in Treblinka with other little children. And the top layer fell on her. And they never rescued, and my mommy had to stand and watch her little baby die, suffocate. So anybody telling me there was no Holocaust, let them answer those questions.
And at that time, what was your feeling about God, who you loved so much as a little child in Judaism?
I couldn't stand being near a godly person. Because I said, there's no God, no loving God, what my mother taught me, would allow this hell to happen to me. And I just gave up God completely and utterly.
And a miracle happened. You survived. Why,
yes.
Why did you think you survived? How did you survive? And so many others didn't.
Well, for many, many years, I was asking the same question, why is God punishing me? Because I felt so guilty of surviving. There were more worthy people than I to survive.
As you went out of that concentration camp, you literally wanted to burn down churches?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Jesus is there. I suffered enough in the name of Jesus.
We're going to be back in just a moment and find out how she really came to know who, not the Jesus portrayed by people that called themselves his followers, but the real Jesus she came to know. We'll be right back after this. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Rose Price, and we're going to find out how this woman who wanted to burn down churches now speaks in them. about the real Jesus. But let's find out who's on next week. Janie in the control room, who's up?
You'll be interviewing a man by the name of Jeffrey Weiss, who has uncovered how and why the church has hidden its Jewish roots for 2,000 years.
I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you, Janie. Now, Rose, you come to America, you get married, you become active in the synagogue right across the street. You were what, were you the president?
I worked up to president.
So if you're not even believing in God, why were you in the synagogue?
I was a good social Jew.
Okay, so one day your daughter comes home and mm-hmm. she says to her mother, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, after they revived me, I after 3 days, I threw her out.
Really? Your own daughter?
My own daughter.
Why?
She went to my enemy because in the name of Jesus, all the atrocities were done.
So you kicked your own daughter out?
Yes.
And then shortly, your younger daughter, same thing?
Same thing. And my husband.
Your husband went to check on the two girls. And what did he find out when he went to check?
That they were all sitting on the floor and praying for me. And he felt so bad that he sat down and he prayed. Now, my husband wasn't a praying man. I couldn't get him into the synagogue.
You're telling me he believed in Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a family
Yes.
Picture that?
Uh-huh.
She's got her whole family now believes in Jesus. Did you go to the rabbi for help?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I was running to the rabbi day and night until I went there with Isaiah 53. Then he threw me out.
Whoa, slow down. Why did a rabbi, you're the president of the sisterhood, why would he throw you out?
Because a Jewish woman does not read Isaiah 53.
But that's in the Jewish scriptures.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't read. You don't have to read that. You're not supposed to.
So that made you a believer because he threw you out?
Well, that made me angry enough to pick up my daughter's Bible, which it was a King James at the time, to go down the basement and start reading both Bibles.
Why would you go in the basement?
So nobody would see me reading the Bible, because you're a modern Jew, you don't read that stuff. And I started reading the King James, and I started with Matthew, and I was looking for the killer Jesus.
And what did you find?
I found a lamb. I couldn't find the killer. You know, he loved us so much.
And then you got invited to a very wealthy man, invited you over his house for a party.
Right, his birthday party.
His birthday party. Mm-hmm. And the party was, he saw you in another room. He walked up, he started talking to you. What happened?
Well, he wanted to pray for me, and I said, nobody prays for me or to me or around me. He said, do you mind if I pray? I said, I don't care if you stand on your feet, on your head. It's your house. The carpets were thick enough. And this man started praying, and Debbie started praying. And all of a sudden, I don't know where I was from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning. But when I came to me, I felt different. The only thing I remember is that a big, big, heavy stone rolled off my back. Big, heavy stone. And then I was saying, for 6 months, I was going around like a split personality. And I was saying, yes, I believe. No, I don't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I cannot fight this anymore. And then I went into my closet. Literally, I went into my closet and I said, you prove yourself now, either or. I cannot be split anymore. And he proved himself. He is the Messiah. He is the Jewish Messiah.
How does he differ from the Jesus that you thought he was?
He's not a killer. He doesn't hate me. He loves me. He died for me. We all need a blood sacrifice.
And then I invited Rose to go to Berlin, Germany with me because there was a gathering of Christians and they asked me to find some speakers. I suggested Rose Price. She did not want to go. Why didn't you want to go, Rose?
To go back to that accursed land, to Germany, speak on forgiveness? Come on now, have mercy on me.
Budge, you and your husband and I were on that plane headed to Berlin.
Lord, it was a long plane flight. It was hard.
But you know something? When you went out in that big stadium, it was the stadium, by the way, that Hitler said they would rule forever from. And in that stadium, there were Jewish flags waving, young German Christians, listen to this, young German Christians with Jewish stars. What effect did that have on you?
Well, definitely, because I took off my star, you took off yours, and we went to Germany, and he had German people wearing the Jewish symbols. I mean, it's kind of funny to show. It had a big effect on me, yes.
And after you spoke there, a man came up to you, and what did he say?
Well, he was one of six or seven men, but this particular man asked me to forgive him because he was a guard in Dachau.
You were in Dachau?
I was in Dachau, yes.
Well, that moment, be real right now, and I know you are. Mm-hmm. What went through your mind when this...
Kill him.
Why?
Because his job was punishment. And his mildest punishment was throwing us into the mud with face down and step on us and break the bones, because we were just bones, skin and bones. And many, many of the people just remained laying there and beating us, constantly beating us. And here he is kneeling in front of me.
What was he asking you for?
To forgive him. And I thought to myself, I forgive you. I'm going to send you where you wanted me to go. I mean, very simple. I didn't even remember I had spoken on forgiveness. I was so semi-conscious. I only knew this guy hit me. This guy hurt me, and I have to break his neck, and that's the opportunity I have. And I put my hands out. And then the Lord just took my hands and put them back. That's when Peter, Corrie ten Boom's nephew, dubbed me the Jewish Corrie ten Boom when he saw my hands going back.
So your hands went back, and then what?
Back this way.
And then what happened?
The man got up, and I said something in German for the first time because I haven't spoken German. And I said, okay, I forgive you. But I really didn't mean it. It took me a while to learn to forgive. But I could say now, I totally forgive, not just the Germans, but also the Polish.
How can you do that, Rose? You lost
Rose
almost
Price
100
can't.
Members of your family. How can you do that?
Rose Price can't. But Rose Price in the Lord has to. And I had made a decision to serve the Lord, not me. And if I serve the Lord, I have to serve him the way he wants me to. I went back to Poland in forgiveness. I went back to Germany in hate, came out in forgiveness.
What did that guard say to you the next day after you forgave him?
That's the first time he slept since the war began. And by the way, that guard became a street evangelist. He saved thousands of druggies, prostitutes, runaway children.
The love of God. To forgive that guard. Forget Rose Price forgiving that guard. God forgave that guard. You see, we humans might have difficulty forgiving, but God loves us all equally. You know, when you hear the phrase, he's a good God, that's true. When you hear the phrase, he's not a respecter of persons, which means he loves you as much as he loves Rose Price, as much as he loves me. He's got so much love that if he could take his arms right now, and he can and will by his Spirit, and just embrace you, just put his arms around you. And if you want to cry, you can cry. If you want to tell him what hurt you, you can tell him what hurt you. He is real. He does care for you. He does have a purpose for your life. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. come inside of me. Restore me to God the Father. And He'll give you His love that will allow you to forgive, allow you to be free, allow you to have a purpose, allow you to have a destiny, allow you to have joy in this life, allow you to have shalom, peace in this life, allow you to have destiny, purpose. There's a purpose for your life.